Next reading is taken from somewhere, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 on. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were chatting with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What were you talking about as you walked along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and you do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God, and all the people as well. Chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost done." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the super encouraging word of God. Thanks be to him. Amen.
So Lord, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever been on a holiday when absolutely everything went wrong? In our gospel reading this morning, we meet two people, Cleopas and his unnamed companion, who are on the journey home from Jerusalem, having gone to celebrate the Passover festival. However much they may have been looking forward to this annual event, this year the celebrations had turned particularly sour. Now there's a couple of introductory points here. Before we get into the sort of the whole of the text and the main theme of my sermon, I want to say two things. Firstly, there's a wide range of modern scholarship that suggests that Cleopas's unnamed companion might well be his wife. Perhaps the Mary, wife of Clopas, who's mentioned as one of the women at the foot of the cross in John 19. And secondly, the Greek word that our reading translated as discussing in verse 17 is actually a lot stronger. It's the word antiballo, and it literally means to throw things at one another in turn. It's the word used for a fairly fierce argument. So if this is true, if Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas are on their way home from Jerusalem, and if Antiballo means to have an argument, the mysterious stranger who comes up behind them has joined them in the middle of a massive domestic dispute. What should have been a joyful, celebratory event has gone horribly wrong. And as the couple, disappointed and disillusioned, start their journey home, they are arguing about it. It's something of a cliche to talk about the spiritual life as a journey, but it is also fair to say on this, our APCM Sunday, that we, as Holy Trinity with St. John's, have been on a pretty incredible journey in the last year. And it's worth reflecting on some of the ups and downs of that journey. I'd remind you that it was only from Easter 2022, just a year ago, that we merged all our services, that we made that conscious decision to worship together as we sought to grow together as one church community. During the summer months, we consulted on, and as a PCC took that very difficult decision as to where we were going to settle our services at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. And I acknowledge that that decision did cause pain. But also, I reflect, looking back over the year, that it's enabled new things, new life, new forms of worship to begin to grow. We have seen God's blessing in all sorts of ways. And if you want to look at some of them, I point you to the incredible life of our church as community reflected in the APCM reports that were attached to news and notices the last couple of weeks. The joy of worshipping together. The new friendships that are beginning to blossom. We've also walked some difficult paths. And there may be people here this morning who, like Cleopas and his companion, feel disappointed and disillusioned with the way things have turned out. So it's small wonder that, like Cleopas and like his companion, we too have had our moments of disagreement, our moments of argument. The Bible is a book full of very human stories, full of people just like us. But primarily, the Bible is the collection of books that recount God's story. And as Jesus, initially unrecognized, comes up behind Cleopas and his companion with that question, "What are you arguing about?" as you walk along, we see God's story beginning to break in to this human story of disappointment and disillusionment, opening up new possibilities and offering a new way forward. In asking that question, "What are you arguing about?" as you walk along, Jesus invites Cleopas and his companion to tell their story. Our human stories are important to Jesus. And not just the good stories, the stories where we are godly and heroic and get everything right. The stories of our disillusionment and disappointment, our mistakes and our outright failures are important to Jesus too. Cleopas and his companion own their story. They own their hopes and disappointments. And Jesus listens as they recount their expectations, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and the dashing of their hopes and expectations that he would be the one to redeem Israel to the ground. Our human stories are important to Jesus. Our hopes and dreams, our disappointments and disillusionments, our challenges and our joys. I wonder what story each of us would tell of this last year. Our stories are important to Jesus, and so our stories are important to one another as we grow together as church, one people, but each of us making up that one people with a different story to tell, yet united in our purpose to serve our loving God. But to listen effectively to each other's stories, we need to have the courage, each of us, like Cleopas and his companion, to own our stories, to tell them honestly, and to face unflinchingly the reality of where we find ourselves. And so, let me own a part of my story for this year, and only a part. Part that has maybe been at times frustrating. Because as vicar, it is my role fundamentally to listen to people's stories. But it's really hard to do that when person X comes to me and tells me how much they love everything that's going on and how great it is. And then, often on the same day, person Y comes to tell me that person X is really upset about everything that's going on and really angry. This is part, and I say only part, of my story of this last year. And it tells me that at times, at least one of person X or person Y is not owning their story. Is person X owning their story to me, but telling person Y what they think person Y wants to hear? Or are they telling me what they think I want to hear, and owning their story to person Y? Is person Y owning to me what person X has actually said? Or is person Y in fact projecting their own story, their own disappointment and disillusionment, onto person X, because they haven't yet dared to own their story? To move forward together as one people, united in purpose, yet made up of a whole diversity of people with different stories, we need to listen to each other's stories. But for that to make a difference, we need to own our own stories, to admit to the reality, even when those stories feel and are difficult. But I notice from this journey, and it is a journey, it's a whole walk with Jesus, I notice that owning the story is not the end. Because at the same time, Cleopas and his companion listen to the stranger, Jesus, and they allow Jesus gradually to transform their story. As he listens to their story, Jesus does not collude with that story. Jesus challenges the limitations of Cleopas and his companion's perspective. He invites them to see the events they describe in the light of God's bigger story, God's broader purposes, as in possibly the greatest sermon ever preached, although we don't have the text of it, he interprets to them the things concerning himself in Moses, the prophets, and all the scriptures. In fact, Jesus is pretty blunt with these two travellers, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. Our stories are important to Jesus. But our stories also all reflect our limited human perspective. Not one person in this room has the full picture or the truth with a capital T on what has happened in this church over the last year. Except, of course, for Jesus, who is here walking every step of the way with us. Not one person in this room has listened to everybody well, got everything right, prayed perfectly, behaved in a godly way at every moment of this challenging year. If we had, we wouldn't be human. And it is as human beings made in the image of God and yet also broken and flawed that God loves each one of us. As we own our human stories in the light of the presence of the risen Jesus who loves us, we surrender those stories to the power of the risen Jesus who transforms us. Jesus who loves us exactly as we are and who loves us too much to leave us as we are. Cleopas and his companions find their hearts burning within them as they listen to Jesus on the road, until finally they come to the moment of recognition as Jesus breaks the bread and gives thanks. There is no story too painful, no story too difficult for the love of the risen Jesus to transform, redeem, make new. And so as we as church own the different stories of the last year, we surrender those stories to the God whose biggest story unites us and invites us into a new future, a new hope, a new story. Because the moment of revelation, the moment of encounter with the risen Christ, is not a happy ending to Cleopas and his companion's story. It's a new beginning, the start of another story, of a new story. Their encounter with Jesus impels the two companions to set off at a run back to Jerusalem to tell their story to the rest of the disciples and to start to live out that new story. And so at the start of this new year, 2023, we've been looking together as church at our vision, at who we are and at who we're called to be. The story we are writing together now as Holy Trinity with St. John's in 2023, by the grace of God and in the companionship of Jesus who walks beside us. Spoiler alert, there will be more on this at the APCM later. But following your feedback on the various vision statements we put out for comment in March, we will be structuring our life together around the three W's of worship, welcome, and witness. And in many ways, this is all about story. In worship, we remember that primarily we are a people called together by God to live our individual human stories in the light of God's big story, to be formed and transformed by that story, to learn to recognize Jesus in the words of Scripture that burn within us and in the breaking of bread together. As we grow into a community of welcome, we pay attention both to one another and to the stranger among us. We listen to and value the different human stories that make up this community of faith, seeking to play our part within God's big story. And as we learn to appreciate one another and our different stories, we will find our limited perspectives broadened by those who tell a different story from ours. And then as a community who witness, we tell our stories, we live our stories, we bear witness through our life and service, as well as in our words, among our families, our workplaces, our local community, and the wider world, to the work of the Holy Spirit within us, the Spirit who transforms us and enables us to live confidently and joyfully for God in those ordinary things, those ordinary relationships and ordinary interactions that make up every day. So I pray that the presence of the risen Jesus who walks alongside us will transform our stories and will strengthen us to be a community of worship, welcome, and witness, empowered to live out God's story in the coming year. Amen.